and my mouth.
Amen. If you're not saved today, I invite you to listen carefully to the Scriptures. And if you are saved, hearing the gospel, the Bible says unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. And God can do a work in your heart as a Christian, as a saved person, by hearing the gospel, and it never gets old. Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, What wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll use me today to communicate the truth to these people. And Father, all of heaven's attention is in this building. This is your church. Father, your people are here. And there may be some who have attended today. Whether they claim to be a member or a visitor, they may need the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayer today is they would come to know you. Father, I'm simply a mouthpiece, but I pray your Holy Spirit would reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come in the hearts of the hearers today, especially those who need the Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like to do is I'd like to take this instance here that we just read about, and I'd like to make some spiritual applications to us. God has recorded everything for a reason. And there are things we can learn about who God is and who Jesus is and what He desires to do even today through this book, the truth of it. I want you to see in verse number 2, the Bible teaches there was at Jerusalem, there was a sheep market. By the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. And Bethesda means the house of mercy. And when you see all of these impotent folk who are laid here, there could be no other better place really than to be at a place which is called the house of mercy. The Bible says in Psalm 86 verse 5, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. And verse 15, But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. God is ready to forgive. And you may have come here today. You may be one who needs forgiveness. You may be one who claims to be a member of the church. And you may have your membership, your name on the membership here, but if you've never been truly born again, it's not recorded in heaven, I can tell you that. You're not a saved person if you haven't been born again. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And if you don't know what it means to be born again, you're not. But you can be. And God wants you to be. The Bible teaches that God is ready to forgive. Here these people are laid at a house of mercy, this pool. And the Bible says it had five porches. There's a lot of people here. The Bible says it is not just a multitude. And when you think of the word multitude, you think of the prefix of that word. That's where we get the word multiply. And multiplication is a much greater thing than adding. And so here's a great multitude. Not just a multitude, but a great multitude. And when I look at these people, and I look at who's present here at this house of mercy, a great multitude, the Bible says, of impotent folk. And the word impotent means without strength. Without strength. And the Bible gives a description here of what kinds of people. He says there are people here who are blind, and they're halt, and they're withered. I want us to look at that. God gives words for a reason. He gives details for a reason in the Word of God. These people are without strength. The Bible says they're blind. I'm thankful I can see. And I don't wake up in the morning necessarily and immediately I thank God that I can see. It's something we take for granted. But I'll tell you this, when I see a blind man, I'm very thankful I can see. I'm glad I can see my wife, my children. I'm glad I can see people. I'm glad I can see friends. I'm glad I can see the things that I've seen in Alaska, the beauty of God's creation. I'm seeing things I've never seen before. I'm glad I can see a sunrise and a sunset. I don't know what it would be like to be living in darkness. But the Bible says these people were. And do you know that if you're not saved, if you've never been born again, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible teaches that your spiritual eyes are blinded. You can't really see. You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Kuzel? I'm saying this. You know, when we talk to somebody and we're having conversation, oftentimes we'll say, oh, I see. Oh, yeah, I can see that. I see. You know what we're saying when we say that? We're not saying we can see. We're saying, oh, I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. And the Bible talks about in the book of Ephesians about having the eyes of our understanding enlightened. Have you ever tried reading the Bible and you don't understand it? That's happened to me. I can remember before I was saved when I realized I was missing something. I remember going to the family Bible. My parents had this big, big family Bible, heavy thing that was on the coffee table. And inside of that family Bible, there'd be old, there'd be crushed things, you know, to keep for safekeeping. And there'd be newspaper clippings, and there'd be this and that and the other. That's not what the Bible's for, amen. But it was more of a decoration. And I remember going to that thing. It was an authorized King James Bible. And I opened up that book, and I started reading it, looking for answers. I mean, that Bible was this thick, but I didn't really understand it. Born again, I'd never heard about that. And when I started opening up this book, trying to find the answers for life and about life and death and eternity and heaven and hell, I didn't know where to look. And the things that I was reading, I didn't get it. I was blinded. I didn't understand. And if you're not saved here today, there's a lot of things that you don't understand. But God wants to open your blinded eyes. The Bible says that our understanding is darkened in the book of Ephesians. The Bible says that if our gospel be hid, The gospel is how to be saved. If our gospel be hidden, we don't see it, we don't understand it. If our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, which is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them and they be converted. Here's people that are blinded. The Bible says that they're halt. They can't see. And the Bible says they can't walk. They're halt. Do you know that if you're not saved, spiritually speaking, you're halt? You can't walk. You can't walk. What do you mean, Brother Kuzel? As sinners, we come short. We've sinned. We come short of the glory of God. And when you look in the Word of God and you look at the way of the Lord, you look at the righteousness of God and of Christ, and you look at God's expectation, and you look at the law of God, there is nobody here, from here down to there, there's nobody who has the strength within ourselves to walk according to the law of God. We sin. We sin in thought, we sin in word, and we sin in deed. You do not have the strength to walk in righteousness. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. He goes on to describe how God sees man in his lost, sinful condition. He says their throat is an open sepulcher, and with their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. That's how God sees a sinner. A sinner's halt. A sinner cannot rise up and walk in the commandments of God. How many people today are thinking, believing, they're going to get to heaven because they keep the Ten Commandments? Can you name the Ten Commandments? You can. Even if you can name them, you don't keep them. Name for me one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. And when we do you know what that's called? Idolatry. God hates idolatry. That's the first commandment he gave. Do you know what the tenth commandment is? Thou shalt not covet. Do you know that the Bible says in the book of Colossians that covetousness is idolatry? And have you ever coveted? Have you ever looked at something that somebody else has and say, oh, I wish I had that. I wish I had that new truck. I wish I had that new cell phone. I wish I had that hair. I confess. That's covetousness. And covetousness is idolatry. What's another commandment? Honor thy father and thy mother. Have you ever done that? Have you ever not done that? Maybe that's what I should ask. Oh, he's guilty. Look at his face. Amen? Jock's over there going like this. Don't ask me. We've sinned. We've all disobeyed our parents. What's another commandment? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Don't lie. Have you ever told a lie? You ever lied, Miss Cheney? Who would ever think a sweet young lady like that would ever tell a lie? I've lied. Haven't you lied? We're liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. I don't walk, you don't walk according to the commandment of God. Spiritually speaking, if you're not saved, if you're a sinner, you're halt. And you need to be caught, you need to be brought to the house of mercy. And you're at one today, amen? Or we could go through all 10 of them. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said, I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman and hath lusted after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. We could talk about thou shalt not kill. But the Bible says in 1 John that whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If you're a person who has hatred in your heart, you are going to stand before God on judgment day if you're not saved, my friend, and you will be tried and convicted as a murderer. Who do you hate? Who have you murdered? We're halt. And then we're withered. I'm thinking of a man who was in the synagogue one day, had his hand all withered up. And the Jews were in the synagogue that day, and the chief priests and so on, they were looking at Jesus Christ to see if he was going to heal on the Sabbath. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus says, come forward here, sir. I want everybody to see what I'm going to do. Come forward. Come up here. And the Bible says he spoke to that man and said, stretch forth thine hand, and his hand was restored whole. God can do that. But you know that if you're not saved this morning, you, like that man who had the withered hand, you are like that. You know why you're like that? Because hands speak of the things that we do. We work with our hands. We do with our hands. We perform with our hands. And in the eyes of God, if you've never been saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you haven't been born again, if you haven't become this new creation in Christ, then this morning, before God, you are halt and you are withered. You don't have any hands to do a good work in the eyes of God. You can't do anything good in the eyes of God. I can't either, as a sinner. And there are people who are thinking that they're going to go to heaven because of all of the good things that they do. You can go to Luke chapter 18 and you can read the parable that Jesus spoke of two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. God, I am thankful. Now, it's good to be thankful, amen. But he says, God, I'm thankful. I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. And I am not like the publican, that criminal, that thief who came to the temple today, who came to church today. I'm not like him. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. What do you think about that, Lord? Aren't I good? There may be somebody here who has that kind of a outlook about him or herself. Do you know the man to whom Jesus said you must be born again? He said that to a Pharisee. And when Jesus said, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. A Pharisee would be like a preacher or a pastor today, you know, a religious leader. You have to be born again. And you know, this man Nicodemus, when he looked at himself, and I think of Saul of Tarsus, I mean, what better upbringing, what better pedigree could you have being born a Jewish person? And here Nicodemus is saying, I have to be born again. Why do I have to be born again? And Jesus would say, it's because you were born wrong the first time. You were born a sinner. You weren't born into God's family, born of flesh. You were born a sinner. You were born a child of the devil. And as a child of the devil, anybody who's born in this world, born a child of the devil, born a sinner, we don't do good works. We can't do good works in the eyes of God. We're halt. And there may be somebody here who would look at, you know, you look at yourself and you look at who you are perhaps, or you look at your good upbringing that you've had. God's not impressed by that necessarily. You know what John the Baptist said to those religious leaders? Think not to say within yourselves, oh, we have Abraham to our father. For God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. It doesn't matter who our father is, our mother is, or it doesn't matter our relatives. It doesn't matter who we are, what kind of an upbringing we had. I praise the Lord for those who are born and raised in a Christian family. But you know, all of the Demlo girls must be born again. They're not going to go to heaven because their father's a preacher. My daughter's not going to go to heaven because I'm a preacher. Here we look at this great multitude. I mean, I see it as representing humanity and mankind in this world. And here these people are impotent and they have no strength and they can't see and they can't walk and they can't, you know, do with their hands. That's how sinners are. And the Bible says that they're waiting for the moving of the water. Why? Because an angel came down at a certain season and troubled the water, and whosoever was the first to go in was made whole. But the Bible says they're waiting. They're waiting. In other words, there's nothing those people can do. Those impotent people, there's nothing they can do in themselves. They're impotent. They're without strength. And they can't bring themselves to God. And God had sent an angel at a certain time, but until that angel came and stirred up the water, what could they do? They had to wait. You know what I see by that, beloved? I see that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation is in the Lord's hands. Just, you know, listen, no more did you select the date and the time and the circumstances of when you were born physically. You can't do that spiritually. You can't decide, well, you know, I'm you know, those people who are young, well, you know, I'm young and I want to have some fun in life and I want to live my life my way and I want to have fun with my sin and I just don't want anybody telling me how to do it or how to live, or I don't want this man to rule over us. I mean, this is my life and I want to do what I want, when I want, how I want, where I want, and when I get old, well, then maybe I'll think about getting saved. Let me just take God and plug Him into my calendar, and when it's according to my will, then I'll get saved. No, salvation doesn't work that way. These impotent folk were there at the pool, and they were at the house of mercy, and they could do nothing more than wait. Psalm 40, we sang it this morning. I waited patiently for the Lord. That's all I could do. And He inclined Himself unto me. And He heard my cry. And He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You know, David wrote that. That's David's testimony of salvation. David wasn't in a hole in the ground. God didn't have, you know, there wasn't some big heavenly hand that came out of the sky and reached down and brought him up out of a hole in the ground. But he said, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. What's the pit in the Bible? It's hell. David was saying, I knew I was going to hell. I was lost. And I wanted to be saved. And I needed to be saved. And I was crying out to God, but I had to wait. Salvation is not you going to God. He's too high and He's too holy. You could never get to God by all your good works. You could never get to God by all of your prayers and your efforts and the things that you try to do. Salvation is God coming down to man in the form of Jesus Christ. And these people could do nothing but wait. And the Bible says, they waited for the moving of the water, for an angel went down at a certain season. You know what an angel is in the Bible? Oh, I know, Brother Kuzel. It's that lady with the long flowing hair and the white long robes and the wings on the back. Well, not really. Angels were always masculine in gender. They are masculine in gender. And they always appeared as men. And they always appeared as young men. A young man, a young angel, a young man in appearance, showed up at the tomb of Christ. And the Bible says we're going to be as the angels of God in heaven. Amen. So when we get to heaven, we're going to be young. We're going to look young eternally. Amen. I'm happy about that. I'll have hair too. Because we're going to see him and we're going to be like he is. Amen. But anyway, here's this angel. An angel in the Bible are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to him. The Bible says they excel in strength. They do his will. So here's a messenger of God. The Bible says that the angels, the pastors of the churches in the book of the Revelation are called angels. They're simply messengers. So here's an angel. Here's a messenger of God that was sent by God to come down at a certain time, and he was sent to trouble the water. God wants to do the same thing. God will send a messenger in your life who will speak the truth of God. He'll speak the word of God by the Spirit of God. He'll be the messenger. In that church, who had been saved of whatsoever disease they had. Amen. There's only one sin that God will not forgive, and that's the sin of unbelief. I'm not going to see that. God wants it. It's whosoever and it's whatsoever, but I want you to know it is not whensoever. Well, in verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? When Jesus saw him lie, Jesus saw this man who was impotent. Jesus saw this man who couldn't do anything for himself. Jesus saw him, and Jesus sees you. And Jesus Christ is ready to forgive. And Jesus Christ, in his providence, has brought you to a house of mercy. So you can hear the truth of God of how you can be saved and why you need to be saved. Jesus saw him and said, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the waters trouble to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, let her step down before me. He didn't have a man to help him in. Verse 8, and Jesus said unto him, rise and take up thy bed and walk. Amen. You notice the words that he said to him? Rise. If you're going to rise, you're in a lower condition, amen. He said, I want you to rise, and I want you to take up your bed. That thing that you were subject to, that thing that controlled you and that you were on, I want you to pick up that thing, and I want you to ride, and I want you to walk. And the Bible says, and immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed, and he walked in the same way as the Sabbath. It was an immediate healing. There wasn't a progression of sorts. It was an immediate thing.
That's right.
And so it is with the spiritual birth. Nobody here today is still being born of the flesh. So it is spiritually. When Jesus Christ comes into your heart, when he knocks on that door and you hear his voice, and you open the door like you do the front door of your house and you invite him to come into your soul, when that water is being troubled and he's calling for you, you put your faith in Christ and you repent of your sins. The Bible says that you will be born again, and God's Spirit, he'll breathe new life into you. The Holy Spirit of God will come in unto you. He will forgive you. He'll wash you clean. You'll be born again. Your name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he will seal you with that Holy Spirit, and you will be a child of God forever by birth. Not the flesh birth, the spiritual birth. When you get born again. And it'll be an immediate thing.
rise up and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. You know, if you're not saved, you're not whole. You have a body and you have a soul, but your spirit is separated from God. You're not whole. You can be. Are you willing to repent of your sin? If you don't repent of your sin, you don't get saved. If you are not willing to come to Christ and confess to Him, Lord, it is my fault. My sin is my fault. I'm not going to blame my father. I'm not going to blame my mother. I'm not going to blame my sister or my brother. My sin is my fault. I'm guilty before you. You've got to be willing to do that. Too many people are trying to blame everybody else for their own sin. You come to Christ, my friend, listen, you come to Christ and just agree with God. And say, Lord, I don't want to be the sinner that I am anymore. I'm lost. I'm halt. I'm blind. I'm withered. I have no strength in myself. I'm finished. I'm finished. Are you listening? I'm finished being the sinner that I am. I don't want to be me anymore. I hate who I am. I hate the sinner that I am. I hate the sins that I've done. I repent. I give myself all to you. I give you everything. I hold back nothing. I am a sinner, Lord. I'm filthy. I may not have been like these other sinful people in this world, but I am a sinner. I was born that way. And I don't want to be the sinner I am anymore. I want to pick up a cross. I want to follow you. Now, let me tell you something. If you've never picked up a cross, you've never been saved. Well, Jesus picked up a cross. And if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, where are you going to go with your cross? You're going to go to the same place He did. You're going to go to Calvary. And what's going to happen when you get there? On that cross, you're going to be crucified. And if you aren't willing to repent of your sins, if you aren't willing to give up your life to the death, as it were, you don't get saved. Well, Lord, you know, I'll give you 85% of my life, but you know, there's that 15%. That's mine. That's mine. No, you don't, you listen, go to the cemetery. There are people who are 85% dead. You've got to be crucified with Christ. Well, Lord, you know, I'll give you most of my life. I'll give you 90% of my life. Lord, oh, get this. I'll give you 99% of my life. But there's 1%. It's no trespassing. You keep your hands off. You don't tell me what to do with that 1% of my life. I'm keeping that for myself. Well, let me tell you something. If that's the attitude that you had when you came to Christ, you didn't get saved. You did not get saved. You come to Christ, and you have to be willing to exchange who and what you are for a new birth. We're talking a new birth. And if there's anything about the old birth that you want to hang on to, and you want to carry over into the new life, something from your old life, my friend, you don't get saved. That is not repentance. And I think that there's people in churches today who claim to be saved, but who've never been to the cross, they've never been to Calvary, they've never been. There's a man who took his car and wanted to trade it in for a new one. He goes to the salesman. He's looking at cars and he decides on the kind of car he wants. And he says, you know, I like this car. I want this brand new car. And I've got mine here and I want to trade it in for a new one. But I just want you to know, Mr. Salesman, that before I trade it in, I want to take out that new steering wheel that I put in. I mean, it's not that old. I kind of want to keep that thing. And, oh, sorry, sir. Before we trade my car, you know, just a few months back, I put on these new tires, and I really want to keep these new tires. Oh, and before I trade this car, I want to take out my leather seats because I just had them reupholstered not too long ago. But there's some things that I want to keep. You know what that salesman is going to say? You don't really want a new car. You want to keep the one you've got. And there are people like that. They try to negotiate with God. God is an all or nothing God. Mm-hmm. You either give all or nothing. Amen. Right. That is repentance. So those of you who say you're saved, did you repent? Did you give up everything? And there's parts of you that Christ has never, ever had because you've never given him access to that part of your life. Righteousness. Maybe it's who you are. And you've never truly admitted that you're a child of the devil, worthy of hell. Whatever it is, God knows. And I believe that through the preaching and the teaching of the Word, and the water is stirred. And if it is, God knows, it's his timing, it's up to him. And I'm just saying, if God is doing that to you now, God is inviting you to come to be saved. Truly saved. Born. Immediately, you're going to rise up for a long time, and your eyes will be open. Father, I want to thank you today for the truth of the Word of God and what we see in this chapter of what happened with this man. And Father, there are a lot of great spiritual truths that are contained in this message. And Father, I want to pray today for anybody here who's not saved, though they may say they are, or maybe they know they're not. Father, if they have realized, if you've shown them that they're impotent, they're without strength, they can't save themselves, they're halt, they're withered, they're blinded. Father, if you're calling them today, if you're troubling their water, they can be born again truly. And Father, I pray they will realize it's for a certain season. They can't get saved. And I pray they'll do that. And Father, for those who are born again, we need to be the man to bring a person to you. For the time that we have in this